Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrat, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here.
And Mike Cosentino is all the way over here.
But on the other side of this gigantic orange table.
That's right. That's right.
And we have two guests today, one who's made it here on time. you want to introduce him, Mike?
Yeah, Dr. David Brill is here. He's running against Paul Gosar. And those of us that live in Gosar's district, now this is not Sedona, this is over there in the Cottonwood side and all that over there, and he's going to talk more about that. Dr. David Brill is here. We're going to talk about, we're so glad because even the Arizona Republic did an editorial a couple days ago begging people to say, please, it says, the headline was, Gosar is a disgrace to Arizona, unseat him, please unseat him. They were very nice. Dr. Brill, could you introduce yourself more clearly than this guy is capable of?
Sure. I'm a medical doctor. Mm. I've also been a businessman. I've run three small businesses with all the challenges that go with that. I've been a corporate medical director for Michelin Tires, Michelin North America, with Uniroyal and B.F. Goodrich. And I've been a teacher. I've taught in both high school history and then went on to teach colleges medicine at two universities and also at entrepreneurship.
Were you ever at the U of A?
No, this was back in New York before I moved to Arizona.
Part of New York?
Upstate New York, Saratoga Springs.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's very nice.
Mike's from New York, and I lived there for many years. You're running against, as Mike sort of alluded to, one of the worst congressional candidates in the country. I mean, he is in the bottom 1% of congressional candidate. This is the man who boycotted the Pope's speech because he thinks the Pope is this flaming socialist. What else? We have a whole list of what?
This is a guy whose own family denounces him, saying, right, we weren't raised that way. We were raised with more compassion. And you know, the thing we say about Republicans over here, you gotta be nice because you're a candidate. We don't have to be nice. No compassion. We're talking about mean, angry people. You know, why he wanted to have the Dreamers thrown out of the House chamber that were there as guests of other congressmen.
He still wants to have, I think, the millions of Dreamers deported. I don't think he's changed his mind on that. I mean, I think he's still a leading advocate of a giant border wall and deporting Dreamers. What do you have a position on that? I mean, you're gonna be in Congress. You're gonna be asking you what you want, what you think about this and that.
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, for me, there are a couple of things that I'm frustrated about with the way that our representative has been running in the district. Number one, we need Congress to be working again. And our representative so far has barely worked with his own party, as we've seen with some of the extreme views that he's taken lately, let alone the other party. So we need to get Congress working again.
He also has refused to meet with his constituents.
Well,
he's been in hiding, essentially. He's not shown up for meetings.
Well, as I get around the district, and I was in Yuma last week and Lake Havasu, and, just last week, but as I get around the district, the word that I hear most is inaccessible. And I have been, all my business life, I've worked very hard to be very accessible to anybody who needs me in my businesses. If you need me, you need to be able to reach me. But more importantly, I think our representative and Congress have been focused more on starving the federal government and not feeding the district. And what I mean by that is, as I get around, the construction industry, they need people to build the houses. They need people who are stable to build the houses. And the growers, the agriculture industry in Yuma, they absolutely need immigrants in the fields. And they need to have some form of legal status. And they've been frustrated by these extreme stances. We do need to get a defensible path to citizenship for these people.
He's one of the most extreme and, as you say, inaccessible people in Congress. His own family has denounced his Skrull's
Seven
attacks.
Gosar siblings signed a letter and sent it to the Kingman Daily Miner, which is part of the WNI chain that owns the Verde Independent, decrying their brothers deceit and anti-Semitic dog whistle. His own family doesn't, as I've already mentioned, doesn't sign on to this brand of angry, ugly politics. He called the FBI traitors. He called the Democrats traitors. My job here is to take Gosar out. Then that's what I'm going to do.
He believes in the worst theories of conspiracy theories,
yeah.
The most hurtful conspiracy theories to people who've lost children in shooting and stuff ever. So it doesn't get much worse than Paul Gosar. We should say that you're running in CD4. Tell us a little bit about CD4, because most of our listeners are in CD1, where Tom O'Halloran is the incumbent.
Well, it's a really rural district. It goes from Yuma in the southwest up through Lake Havasu and Kingman and Bullhead City all the way up to the Utah border, you know, through the Hualapai and Havasupai areas. Then it comes down through the Quad Cities and Prescott, PV, and so on, and through Wickenburg, and over. Then it skirts over to, Black Canyon City, to Gold Canyon and Payson. So there are parts of seven counties in this district, which really makes it challenging, you know, for someone to get around. We can't drive this in a day. You can't possibly drive this district in a day. Over this weekend, my wife, my daughter, and I were all driving separate cars this last week. We put 1,500 miles on our cars over the last 4 days.
Wow.
Well, we had a candidate who just wore out a whole vehicle trying to get everywhere in the in the district. The district, I think, if you're coming into the internet, folks, the district's the size of a small European country. It's that big, and it's very diverse, running from North Yuma, right, all the way up to where we are now. Mike lives in the district.
Yeah, I believe that the redistricting commission, and I went to those meetings when they were having them. They had one in Codmans and one in Sedona, and they had them all over the state. Their idea was to form a rural district. They didn't have the candidate in mind for sure, but they wanted like communities. They had six criteria, and one of them were that had priority, obviously, were to band or to put like communities together. Not necessarily make a geographically contiguous district. I mean, an easy one anyway.
So what we need to focus on in this district is the needs of rural communities. And some of the needs of rural communities in our district are jobs, good jobs with opportunity. But to do that, you've got to have infrastructure. Now, you know, Trump is, of course, getting ready to propose some infrastructure. But there's some infrastructure that's way overdue in this district. I mean, way overdue. Highway 11. From Vegas to Phoenix, through Kingman, through Mojave County, should have been funded years ago.
It's
our representatives should have been going to bat over and over and over to get funding for that over the past 6 years. That's what should have been happening. It hasn't been happening. But if we want to create good jobs and infrastructure in Mojave County, Kingman, that area, we've got to have that road going through. It would also offload 17, of course. Because that coming down, we wouldn't have to have all the traffic going up to Flag and then over on 40. We could offload that whole route. So Highway 11 is one thing that I think should be happening quickly. Another big need of rural communities is jobs and solar. Our current representative has been pushing fossil fuels. He's had various events sponsored by the American Petroleum Institute. We need oil in this, in sun-drenched Arizona, like a hole in the head.
Absolutely.
We should be installing solar, American-made solar, creating thousands and thousands of installation jobs and helping people to get off the grid. What have we done in Arizona over the past couple of years? We've made it harder to get off the grid for people that use solar. But the batteries that we have now are so much better, and they're improving. The next generation of batteries are going to be phenomenal. But now, you know, with solar and batteries, you can really get off the grid at a time when we've made it harder to get off the grid.
Well,
go bigger.
Even the Solar City leases, you know, the leased solar panels, APS has been allowed to make it really difficult. And we're talking about all the way down, by the way, to the nitty-gritty parts of actually having switching from APS to solar. They delay that part of the process as long as they can until the customer complains. We're talking about 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And I know this from experience, but I'm not the only one who has leased solar panels, and APS won't let you throw the switch. In other words, your panels are up there making electricity like crazy, but you're still getting your electricity from APS until they decide. And apparently,
I wonder why that happens, Mike.
This is 2018.
I'm kidding.
Well, they just want to make it a difference. They want you to talk to your neighbors and say, boy, it was really hard. You had to get APS to do this and that and the other thing. The whole APS purchase of the Corporation Commission is a topic for another show. And obviously, but we have
which we'll be doing on the 17th. You'll be in interviewing former Arizona AG Terry Goddard.
That's right.
About dark money. He's calling it, what is he calling it?
Dirty money.
He's calling it dirty money now.
That's great. Yes, exactly. We're doing that February 19th, I think. That's a couple Mondays from now.
Can I say something about
that? Yes, please.
What I'm interested in is the difference between dirty money and dark money.
Yeah.
Now, dark money is since the Citizens United decision, a lot of money has flooded into politics. Now, dark money is money where you can't really trace it. But what Terry Goddard is talking about with dirty money is money that has been laundered. And what he means by laundering is if money, say, comes into into the system in, say, Atlanta, Georgia, and then it gets laundered through a few political action committees, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, and then it comes out the other end in Arizona for a school board race, a mayoral race, whatever race it comes out in, what Terry Goddard is saying is that we Arizonans, we can't change the federal system. We're powerless to change the federal system easily. But we Arizonans can at least control what happens in Arizona. So what he's saying is we Arizonans have the right to know when money comes out of that laundered pipeline, who put it in the first place? Was it a foreign corporation? Was it a, you know, large billionaire? Who was it?
Well, that's the deal. Right now, the Arizona Secretary of State is making a big deal, saying on her website, you can find out the groups behind the donations. And that's true. You can find out groups. But what Terry Goddard's talking about, what Dr. David Brill, candidate for CD4, is talking about, is who's in those groups. And you can't find that out.
No, we've done research, and you get to all these dead ends. And the really spectacular results that some newspapers have got is because when they make a mistake, and then they catch them. But normally, I think the normal thing is that you can't trace them and you can't stop them.
And I want to go back to what Dr. David Brill said, that Terry Goddard's expertise as Attorney General of Arizona is in exactly this field. We're going to be singing these praises hopefully on the 19th, but the most unsung hero of Arizona may be Attorney General Terry Goddard when he went after the criminal finances of all sorts of folks, but certainly drug people and lots of other folks as Attorney General. So he knows how to do this. So, and he knows it's there. The rest of us kind of go about our lives and don't.
He's been steady on it, too. He stayed on this topic on, and he's changed the language he talks about it. But I'm looking forward to the interview you're going to do with him, Mike. We have another candidate here.
Hello.
Hey. Ran a little late. Get right on top of the microphone. Tom's going to wave at me because I'm the one who doesn't stay on top.
And he slaps him once in a while, too. Yeah. We look forward to that part.
Yeah. Well, that's why I sit so far back.
Yeah.
I sit so far back.
Anna Marie Perez is here.
Tell us about yourself. David's introduced himself. David Brill's introduced himself. You're the other Democrat running in CD4.
Yes, I've been running since May. I got really sick of what the Freedom Caucus was doing, and I realized our representative is a Freedom Caucus member. So I had just known a little bit about GoSAR here and there, but was really angry about giving benefits to the wealthy while taking benefits away from the poor. So that's what got me started.
Kind of reverse Robin Hood type of guy.
Yeah. So the more I learned about Gosar, the more I realized he paints a story that's 180 degrees opposite of what's really going on. He's kind of a spin doctor.
Yeah,
absolutely. Anybody that's ever gotten any communications from Paul Gosar has read. And the amazing thing is that the letters that you get, and I get emails from him all the time, have nothing to do with what we were talking about. They are boilerplate Republican things that some aide pulled out of a basket somewhere.
Or they're almost delusional in terms of conspiracy theories and stuff.
He has a slick graphic presentation, and so it took me a while to decompress and to really. You have to research. So if you look at his newsletters, you think he's a competent person, and you think, oh well, maybe he has a point. But the more I kept digging and unraveling, it's like, oh, he's constantly giving some kind of story. And he is unraveling. His version of reality does not line up with the rest of us.
There you go. We've talked a little bit about that before you came in, and we won't necessarily.
Talk a little bit about your background.
Yes, please.
So I'm from Missouri originally. I lived in Sedona for 13 years. So I'm happy to be back here. And I'm here with my fiancé, who made the trip with me. And so I come from a background growing up Catholic in St. Louis. And my father's Cuban. That's where my name comes from. Grew up with a working-class family. And I went to architecture school. My father helped support me with that. And it wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do. But I did it I got a degree and that was my career for 13 years. So I helped manage million-dollar projects, and a lot of these projects, commercial and governmental projects, take a lot of coordination. And so when I saw this crisis happening with our Republican Congress, I felt like these skills can be really used to help the country. So it's kind of a big step for somebody to jump right to congressional candidate.
You've never run for office.
No.
David, how about you? Have you run
No,
before?
I've never run for office okay. before, but I've certainly been in large corporations, the VA. I've worked in the VA for 10 years and started, as I said before, three small businesses and have been a teacher both at university and high school levels.
Well, I think we should thank both of you from the start for running, because it's very Absolutely. Hard to get people to run for candidates. We know it's not what would you call it, Mike? It's very difficult and can be very unpleasant.
No, I was asked to run by a lot of people, a lot of friends.
That's great. And CD4 is no simple. You need.
Well, I think this area doesn't have the universities that would produce the professionals that would be willing to step
Good
up.
Point.
And so, yeah, I you don't see Republican candidates running either. Right. So I saw a big void, so I didn't hesitate. I wanted to be on the ballot. I created a website, and it was kind of a sudden thing. Like, if nobody else is doing it, I better do it. So that was a while ago.
Well, we thank you both for stepping up because we do know how difficult it is. And we do know that Gosar is going to be coming out with just absolute tons of dark, dirty money, whatever you want to call it. He's been working hand in glove with the Koch brothers for a long time and Koch brother front groups. And so you're going to be hit with a candidate who is on the edge of legality in terms of using those newsletters and stuff to promote his candidacy. I mean, he's right on the edge of, yeah, it's sort of okay, but it's kind of pushing the envelope there.
He's been defending Trump so much, it's angered people. His subtle racism towards Jews really stirred people up back on Vice News in October. And I hadn't developed my message yet, so I didn't really come after him at that point. But now I'm on social media, and lately when he says some crazy things, people donate to me. So he's doing like a reverse, you know, he's helping me fundraise. Actually.
Which we mentioned once again before you came in, but the article in the Arizona Republic on February 9th, we're talking about, they said, please unseat the ninny. And I have to admit, the Republic doesn't talk about candidates that
well,
way.
Well, that was the editorial where they were like, can a good Republican step up? And he was comparing to a recall vote. So, yeah, Gosar's on the edge of being recalled or impeached or whatever process.
We're called Democratic Perspective, but I've kind of controversially been going around to Republicans and pleading with them, please run a sensible conservative Republican, a guy who can be very far right wing, but has a functioning brain when it comes to non-conspiracy ideas.
Gosar came
and who
from-
really is interested in helping CD4, who's really interested in the facts and the people in CD4. And helping solve their local problems.
Well, the last four terms, we haven't seen that come forward. And I think David Brill and I are the moderates where you have what Republicans are looking for. A lot of our positions are very similar.
What we'd like to see, especially from, a representative who's in healthcare, what I've heard, on his phone calls, and I've been on a few of them, is that he mostly would like to have insurance companies cross state lines and have health savings accounts. But when you look at both of those, other healthcare organizations, Kaiser Permanente, whatever, they cross state lines. Pharmaceuticals cross state lines. It hasn't changed a lot, but I'd like to focus on the health savings accounts for a second. If you're a family, with an income of $30,000 and you have a health savings account in which you can manage to get $500 or $1,000, how is that going to protect you from a $500,000 catastrophic medical bill that will throw you into bankruptcy? We need insurance that's really affordable for everybody in this country, and we can do it, but first we need to have Congress function so it's not just one party bullying the other. Which is what we've had for the past, since the mid-90s. We've mostly had one party bullying the other. Now we've got a start on health care. We can tweak it, and we can tweak it in a few ways that make some real sense. For instance, nobody has delivered on allowing Medicare to negotiate directly on price with pharmaceutical companies. Nobody. Trump didn't do it. He said he would. Obama didn't do it. And who got the most? If you just look, you'll see who got the most money. But Congress is bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical companies. When I get to Congress, the first thing I'm going to do is to put forward legislation with any other sponsors I can get for Medicare to negotiate directly on price with pharmaceutical companies and to import the same safe and effective medications from Canada that are produced there and sold for half the price as they are here.
Let me ask you this. Tom O'Halloran, who's a representative, a Democrat from CD1, who was once a Republican and there just was no place for him in the Republican Party, and that's a story you hear all the time, is working with a group of congressional Democrats and Republicans sort of in the center trying to work together to sort of some sort of sensible policy. Does trying to do that make sense to both of you?
Definitely. I think there's going to be a blue tsunami caucus, and the candidates that are running in this midterm election are reformists, and they are moderates. I think they want to appeal to both parties. They're not about just trying to have one agenda over another. We want to come together as a country.
I like the name. The Blue Tsunami Caucus is great. But yes, Tom O'Halloran, as an antidote to the Freedom Caucus that you talked about, I believe gets together with, I believe they have the same number. There's around 40 in the Freedom Caucus. Tom O'Halloran and other like-minded Republicans and Democrats are getting together to try to have a reasonable.
And they talk to each other regularly, I think.
Yeah. But when we don't compromise, let's look at the millennials. They've never seen a functioning Congress in their whole life. They doubt that the democratic system even works. They doubt that it's worthwhile. Because they've never seen it work. Since scorched earth policies came into Congress in the mid-90s,
right.
We've never had a functioning Congress. It's one of the most hated institutions in the country. We've got to get it functioning again. Now, a lot of people, especially independents, want the chaos to stop. We need people in Congress that can actually compromise and reach across the aisle, because when we don't reach across the aisle, when we don't compromise, we don't have sensible legislation. We have one party putting through legislation on a party vote that is perceived as bullying by the other party, and then they work for the next 4 years to deconstruct it, and it just goes back and forth like that. No, we've got to get it right the first time. We can start tweaking health care. For instance, another one, the Veterans Administration.
Yes.
What I hear over, the Veterans Administration has made wonderful strides in the past few years, and if Dr. Shulkin, who's the secretary of the VA, he was the leader of primary care before he became the secretary, and he produced some of the most wonderful documents I've ever seen on how to run a health care organization before he became secretary unanimously. Now, one thing that's really tough for veterans right now is specialty consults. The system is working much better than it used to a few years about getting access, you know, to your to your VA appointments, for instance, here in Cottonwood as well. But what's really tough for the specialty appointments, what the VA did is it put in a cost-saving bureaucracy to scrutinize and manage every step of a specialty appointment, you know, to an orthopedist or to a neurologist or whatever. It's too much bureaucracy. We can cut out a lot of that bureaucracy and actually save money on the bureaucracy that's probably not needed and move over to something that's closer to a preferred provider organization where the veterans can get straight to their needed specialty care without going through a horrible bureaucracy.
Yeah,
as I listen to veterans, it's still the biggest complaint they have is, why is it taking so long for me to get my consult?
Well, that's it. And as a user of the VA system and everybody needs specialty care, and I've lived 50 years in Arizona, so a dermatologist is on my speed dial list. And to get dermatological care through the VA was like I was creating my own government. It was quite an endeavor, but I thank God I found it. What I had to do was find a dermatologist that was ex-military and knew how to help work the system. Just to remind folks, we're talking to David Brill, Anna Marie Perez, both candidates for CD4, running against Paul Gosar in the upcoming election. Starting a little early, but then again, it's a guess that we start early. We want to also direct people to these folks, because they're candidates and they at least try to run on what they want to do, and we're going to talk more about that. But if you want to know about Gosar, besides writing him a letter and getting a crazy letter back, the editorial in the Arizona Republic over the weekend, or the last few days, lists his, and where the Arizona Republic asks the Democratic Party to put up some candidates.
Well, they were asking the Republicans. They were assuming that we couldn't do it. But I think we have to move 22 points, and I think we had a progressive candidate in the past that a lot of moderates couldn't vote for, even if they were Democrat. So I think there's 5 percentage points that can be moved just with a moderate candidate.
I know Michael Weiser very well.
Yes, and then 18 points can be moved with Trump voters, which align with Gosar voters quite a bit, who are disillusioned with their vote, that are regretting their vote. So that 22 points looks like a huge swing, but mm-hmm. I think it's swingable.
Plus millennials who haven't registered to vote, so we need to focus on the millennials and get them opportunity, because this is the first generation in American history that will have less opportunity than their parents, and that goes in our district too. So we need to get the millennials more opportunity, like I was talking about. And independents. Independents are frustrated. There are a lot of frustrated independents, like I said, that just want, you know, this chaos to stop. But getting back to the Arizona Republic, I just noticed that last night. I hadn't seen it. It came out on the 9th. I'm not even sure they know I'm in the race at this point.
They may not. And when I talk to Republicans at conservative and centrist Republicans about running for the seat, what they said to me, you know, and this is straight out, I'm not going to use any names, they said to me, we cannot get out of the Republican primary. We cannot win in the Republican primary. The Republican primary voters are just so far to the right that we can't run a conservative campaign. And I said, well, you know, I argued with him and said, well, you guys should really try. But nobody took me up on it.
Fox News has a lot to do with what's going on in the country. It's a big propaganda machine, and the more influence that Fox News has, the more people are going to have that view that has turned into racism. So what we're trying to combat, you know, as candidates who are looking for equality and justice and humanitarian values, also conservative values, and that's what I'm doing out there is that's what I'm doing is I'm combating racism every day, and COSAR is becoming more and more racist every day.
I think most Democrats.
I'm trying to keep a civil dialogue, and try to engage people on the ideas. And I see where their myths are coming from every day, and just trying to just kind of whittle away every day. And people can kind of see on my Facebook, especially the conversations, and hopefully their minds will open up a little bit. But a big piece of this is Fox News.
There you go. You know,
I really appreciate the frustration, for instance, on immigrants, you know, in our state. But another thing that's happening is we've created so many jobs over the past, 8 years, and it's continuing that we're down to 4.5% unemployment in Arizona, as the entire state. And baby boomers are retiring. We're getting to a point now where we're moving toward an employment crisis, meaning that we don't have enough labor. There are jobs out there now for most people that want them, and it's only going to get more challenging. So if anything, we've got to gear up so that we have more trained, educated labor, especially through community colleges, who can take on, you know, the jobs that are coming up in Arizona. But if we go ahead and build infrastructure in Arizona, like I said, with Highway 11, solar, getting broadband out to rural areas that need it so that people can build small businesses, and you need broadband to build a small business if you're out in Mojave or La Paz or Pinal County.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. You cannot build a small business these days. Even Sedona doesn't have – we've had small businesses consider moving here, consulting firms. We don't have the high enough speed internet even for – even here.
So our
we have
to
let
to
our
Phoenix.
Businesses know that we have limited resources of water. People are expanding and developing in Prescott, and Chino Valley is very dangerously low with their aquifer supply that's supposed to supply Prescott, but they're going to run dry.
Now, to give credit where credit is due, I've been very, very encouraged in the conversations I've had with the Prescott municipal leaders. But the mayor had an article last weekend in the Daily Courier where he stressed that the North Chino Aquifer must be protected. We've got to protect the Verde River, but we can have our cake and eat it too. We can have sensible development while protecting the North Chino Aquifer and the Verde River. We can't lose those because water is a priceless resource in the West, and we do have to have more innovative ways to do what we want to do while conserving the water. It wasn't only the mayor, but, you know, another one of the city councilmen with whom I had a conversation last week also put that at his website. We've got to protect the North Chino Aquifer, which I like to see on the part of municipal
government. We've had several shows, water shows, and you know that the headwaters of the Verde River originate in Paulden, the Big Chino Aquifer that... But as Anna Marie Perez, the other voice that you're hearing this morning, candidate for CD4, running against COSAR, noted that some of us believe that with Chino Valley's growth and Paulden's growth, that all of those and former supervisor Chip Davis said they put enough straws into that land up there, taking the water for their own growth, leaves the fate of the Verde River in big question, regardless of what the politicians want to do. And there is a regeneration or a reclamation a statute in place.
We have to balance the business interests and the water use, and we have to be more strict about when the Verde golf course went in and they were supposed to use reclaimed water, and then they didn't, and they were like, oh, the system just didn't work. We didn't, we couldn't put it in.
Talk to those people in Bridgeport whose wells went dry. Exactly. You know, and
so we need to have a watchdog and oversight, and I would be that watchdog.
Let's go back to one question you guys were talking about earlier. You can campaign against the Dreamers, but if you actually expelled the entire Dreaming group, which is millions of people, it would cause a major recession. It would cause so much disruption to the American economy. And this is not a liberal or conservative. This is just basic economics. But yet, my question to you is, yet they campaign as if all these people could be deported when the actual, in fact, whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent, whatever you are, actually deporting millions of people would cause a major recession in the country. It would cause incredible damage. How do you both speak to the irrationality of some of the politics out there?
The build the wall kind of rant or chant that Trump kept saying at all of his rallies really ignited the spirit against this kind of uprising against immigrants. And then Gosar is carrying the torch. And so you just have to fight against those misinformation items that they're getting from their news sources. And some things are falling apart from Fox News, like Ailes and Bill O'Reilly. And so I've been encouraged by that. We just have to stick to the facts, the cold facts, and say them calmly over and over again, because they've been brainwashed.
And what I see is that realism is starting to take hold. What I mean by that is that there's not going to be one wall. There are going to be walls. Walls are effective in some areas, in high traffic areas, at minimizing the illegal immigration. That's no question about it. But we can almost certainly do what we need to do with 3 to 5 billion on the wall to start, or walls. And, you know, and then use electronic surveillance and other, and that's what folks in the Senate, reasonable folks in the Senate, have been doing as a compromise. But more importantly, what we're thinking about with the Dreamers is just not consistent with American values.
Absolutely.
These kids did not come across the border of age, over the age of 18, able to make competent adult decisions. They are not responsible for their presence here. In the interest of fairness, of American fairness, we need to find a solution that recognizes the reality of what's here and the fact that a lot of these people, the ones that have stayed out of any problem with the law, the ones that have gone off and gotten advanced degrees, who have been working productively in, you know, small businesses or starting their own, they are contributing taxes. We would lose their taxes, and who's going to pay them?
Well, that's it. I mean, these people are Americans. For all intents and purposes, these people are Americans, and if being an American one embodies work and service, the Dreamers hold those values, show those values, and many of the things that they do. Work and stuff. Many are in the military. Many of them hold jobs. I like the meme going around the internet. You know, Dreamers paid $11.4 billion in taxes last year. How much did Donald Trump pay? We don't know. So that's. But I want to make sure we get this. We got Anna Marie Perez here this morning talking about her candidacy for CD4. We got Dr. David Brill here this morning talking about his candidacy for CD4. We want to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks and remind folks that on February 15th, that's this Thursday, they were having a breakfast over at the Old Sedona Bar and Grill. They got David Shapira, candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction, will be there as a speaker. Heard him speak before. He's a wonderful speaker. Kurt Ireland, a gentleman I've had coffee with, had no idea that he's going to be speaking this morning, Thursday morning, at the Door Breakfast, and he's going to talk about FISA, some of the hidden court rules and foreign policy things that we have of interest. So Kurt Ireland, David Shapira, as the speakers at the Door Breakfast, February 15th, 8 a.m., this Thursday, right down the street, 1405 State Route 89A is where you'll find the Door Breakfast. Always great, every month. Check them out.
You guys have websites. You want to tell folks how to get there? Are you on Facebook, internet? Let's give some references so if folks want to reach you. You can just do a search, folks, for their name.
Yeah.
But you can have addresses.
Yeah, people are – there's 5,000 Ana Maria Perez's on Facebook, so it's really hard. So search Perez for Congress on Facebook. And then my website is Perez2018.org.
Okay. And mine is BrillForCongress.com and BrillForCongress on Facebook, too. I only registered with the Federal Elections Commission on January 1st, so I've only been in the race for a little over a month. And in the process, we've gotten a whole lot up to speed, and we're off to the races now.
So what kind of now in Arizona you have a choice to make, traditional or clean?
No,
we don't, for this for House of Representatives, we don't have clean elections.
All right,
available.
That brings up a good point. You guys have to raise money, and I don't think you're going to get huge batches of dark, secret, dirty money as probably is pouring into Gosar campaign. Actually, some of it's probably fairly visible. So what do you need in the way of funds to run a campaign that has a chance of winning?
Well, it's really about getting the voters excited. So I'm approaching it from the media and grassroots. And it's really not about the money. It's about getting people interested in voting. Voting doesn't cost anything.
One of the most interesting things we've seen in politics, for instance, the Hillary-Bernie, you can raise a lot of money and still go down because you're just not a popular candidate. So, I'm much more focused in reaching out to the people of the district, being accessible, listening, which I haven't really heard a lot of going on here lately, and bringing some solid expertise to Congress that's going to, you know, reach across the aisle.
I want to tell you both that we are having a Democratic meeting tomorrow in Cottonwood at the Red Rooster Cafe. We're trying to reignite a Democratic presence on that side of the Verde Valley. There's strong organizations in Prescott. There's strong Democratic organizations in Flagstaff. There's a strong one here in Sedona. There isn't one in Cottonwood. So I live over there. We're having our second meeting tomorrow at 4 p.m. at the Red Rooster in Old Town. If you guys are doing nothing, which is not exactly on every candidate's list that has a district as big as yours, please stop by. It's looking good. We have there's a lot of interest.
So is that every month? I probably next month would be good for me.
Yeah, we're going to have another one.
Okay.
And yes, we will have a
I'll
monthly.
Try to go.
Yes.
I'll be there tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. And I'm reminding our listeners that, especially if you live over there, Sedona has a wonderful Democratic organization. You certainly want to get involved with Democrats at the Red Rocks if you can. If you live on the other side, we're calling ourselves right now anyway, Yavapai County Democratic Party Cottonwood Division. We are certainly an offshoot of the Yavapai Democratic Party, and it'll be up to the members eventually maybe to name it. But we're going to talk about ways that you can help these candidates. I'm going to be talking about phone calls. I'm going to talk about canvassing. I'm going to talk about, but there are those people that would, you know, slit their throats rather than go up to a door for canvassing or even make political phone calls. We have other ways. A guy named Ken Clark in the downtown district of Phoenix has come up with some really innovative ways of getting the vote out. And that's really all our job is. It's not that complicated. As the Cottonwood Democratic Organization, the idea is to get people that on our side that think that these candidates would make a much better representative than by the Arizona Republic's definition, the unstable man that we have in there now.
We can sign up for petitions online.
Oh, yes.
So through our websites, you can sign for us to be nominated.
We've really run out of time, folks, so we really appreciate you coming in and talking with us.
Absolutely.
Any last words? We've got 30 seconds, Tom.
We have a campaign kickoff on Sunday, February 18th at the Elks Theater in Prescott, 4 to 6 p.m., and I like to say that any pundit who thinks they know what's going to happen in this election in this district should have their pundit license revoked.
I'm here to support women, veterans, children, and check out my website.
Thanks, folks. VVID.org. You'll find this show and all our shows on VVID.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.